This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All righty. Hour number two. What's happening on this Monday? Back to work. Tiki and Tierney coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. A lot of Cam at hour one. Some great comments by you as well. Some of you agree with our position. Some of you disagree. That's all good. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Instagram at Tiki and Tierney. YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. You miss anything, all the stuff is up there. TV downloads it. Doing a good job with that. So go and subscribe. Click the bell. Fresh content drops. You'll get your healthy dose of Tiki and Tierney. All right, Tiki. Let's get to some good, strong NBA issues right now. There's a lot of them. And to help us get with it, former NBA champ is a player, of course. He won one with the Spurs. Terrific coach as well. Won 74% of his games with Dallas. I mean, won a lot there for sure. He's an analyst for CBS Sports HQ. Coached in college. Big three. The general. Little general. Avery Johnson. Coach, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing? And don't forget, I'm an analyst also for CBS Sports Network.
That's right. Listen, Coach, you got nine paychecks. My bad. I only hit eight of them.
Hey, diversify that income. That's the way to do it, man.
Avery's no dummy. Hey, Coach, let me start with this. So, watching the game last night, Clippers, and we all know they underachieved a year ago. There wasn't great cohesion. It just seemed and we know the reasons, I think, because we've talked about them, but it just didn't go the way we thought it might go. They changed coaches. Things are going pretty well this year. They're playing a red hot Nets team, a team they could conceivably meet in the finals. Avery, as the coach, I understand there's minute restrictions here. He played 32 and you had two more minutes to go in the game at a two possession game, one possession at that point. How do you look your team in the eye and say we're legitimately chasing a championship when you put Paul George on ice the last 2 minutes of the game? That was a joke.
Yeah, that was disappointing. I know it, sitting in Ty Lue's shoes before, when I've had to coach players on minute restrictions and you have to make those decisions. It's just, unfortunately, in today's NBA, the medical staffs just have so much more power than they did, 20 years ago. So those decisions, a lot of times the coach may take the blame for it. But it's just, people that are behind the bench and behind the scenes. If I'm Paul George and I'm in his shoes, I just walk to the scores table and check back in the game.
Yeah. Well, Avery, let me ask you this. I mean, first of all, when did the power shift to the medical staff? And I guess the more important question is, does the player have veto right here? Or is this like set in stone and nothing can change it?
Well, I think the player has veto right, especially when you've gotten signed the type of contract Paul George signed in offseason. You know, you're the 1B player on the team. You're Robin behind Batman, Kawhi Leonard. I just think it's one of those situations where, the player saying, hey, I know my body. This is very important. I can't look my team in the eye knowing that I sat on the bench the last two games after, this guy was really fishing. Six turnovers, but, 34 points, 12-for-9 shooting, six rebounds. You got to get back in the game. And that's some of these things, guys, when common sense have to take over. You obviously have some medical protocols, but, how is he functioning? How is he moving? Is anything, you have any type of soreness in any part of your body? If all of those answers are no, then you just got to You got to put him back in the game.
Well, but yeah. Here's what I think very tough about this, Avery. I understand that Coach Lou's got a responsibility. You know, he's beholden to, you know, not just the player, but medical staff. I get it. There's a pecking order there. But to me, this is a big problem for the league here. Because we talk about, you know, believability. When you watch a movie, you want to at least on some level believe or read a book, whatever it might be, whatever you engage. You want to at least feel as if it's authentic, even if it's not, right? That it's somewhat plausible. If I'm an NBA fan, I don't mean me because I'm doing this for my job and I'm watching no matter what anyway because I love the NBA. But if I'm an average fan, why am I spending money on tickets not knowing who's playing? Mm-hmm. Why am I going to invest 3 hours on a Sunday, sit inside and watch a game if I don't know the best player is going to be on the court in the final 3 minutes of the game?
Yeah, that's something that's going to have to be addressed. You know, whether it's a scheduled rest night for a player. I can see, you know, certain situations if a guy is coming back from an Achilles injury or an ACL, mm-hmm. you have to manage it. And then, you know, you have the Andre Drummond situation in Cleveland where he's just sitting out and he's healthy because they're waiting to trade him. I don't get it. And you're a team that has a bunch of young players that's trying to take the step forward with Colin Sexton and Garland mm-hmm. and those young players. And now Drummond is out. You know, we can't get Paul George back in the game. But I think that's more of an organizational issue, not just on the coaches.
Okay. We're talking to Avery Johnson. Let me make sure I get it right. NBA champs player, great coach, both in the NBA and college, CBS Sports HQ analyst, CBS Sports Network analyst. I think I got him all. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Avery, BT and I have this, it's not really a debate because he's a different type of basketball fan than I am, meaning he's a greater one than I am, especially in the regular season. We both are fully dialed in the postseason. But how much does the regular season matter? Because I think that might be core to this question that we're talking about.
Well, I think the regular season obviously matters, especially when you're trying to develop, you know, a rotation. You're trying to get some of your young players some experience. But at the end of the day, the best team always wins, no matter what seed they are. And that's why I'm not too alarmed, even with the Lakers situation. With Anthony Davis, you know, right now the Lakers are the best team in the Western Conference, independent of what their record. Mm-hmm. They can finish fifth, they can finish fourth. Hmm. So I think staying healthy, having a good mental state about your team, having really good chemistry where everybody's feeling good about each other, and having that great communication with the coaching staff, that all of those things are important. Accountability, a solid culture. If you have that, it doesn't matter where you finish in the top four or five or six. You know, if you're the best team and you have all of those strong models in place behind the scenes, you're going to be successful. And it's the same way in the Eastern Conference. You know, you look at the Nets, they starting to develop their culture. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee struggling. You know, Milwaukee has their best players can't really make an outside shot behind the 3-point line, but he's a heck of a player and he's 2-time MVP.
Or foul but, shot.
Yeah, a foul shot. So I just think your culture behind the scenes really matters, and you have to be healthy mentally and physically, and everybody's on the same page going into the playoffs, and you have to have, you know, a guy like a LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard when he's on top of his game. You got to have the great, great players playing their best basketball come playoff time.
Avery, should AD be looking at what went down with KD and say, without saying it, obviously, but listen, if this thing's going to roll up on me, it's going to happen because it's just a freak thing and not because I rushed it back or because I felt compelled to help LeBron carry the burden. We heard the same thing about it's the calf. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's the Achilles. How concerned should Anthony Davis be about his career right now?
You should be very concerned. And they should take a conservative approach, very conservative approach with him because
– Define conservative. Define that. What do you mean a very conservative? Define that, Coach, if you can. Define conservative, very conservative approach. What do you mean by that?
Well, he can't sit out for 4 weeks and come back and play and practice one time and then he's ready for a game. No, so you're out for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, then you ease him back into, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 practices, see how he recovers. Then, you know, you go a little bit harder. Maybe you can have a little bit of a simulated game with some of your players not named LeBron James, you know, if you can figure it out on an off day. But you have to really be careful and tread lightly in not rushing him back without having significant practice time before he returns to the court for a game.
Yeah, no, we saw this with KD, right? He kind of came right back, and the next thing you know, it's done for the season, and really the entire following season as well.
He rehabbed,
yeah.
And then you saw him playing one-on-one or two-on-two. It's just not the same level of energy when you're playing five-on-five and you're going up and down the floor and you're cutting and moving. So I just think you're going to have to really figure out a way. He almost needs like a G League assignment.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Somewhere he can chill.
Get
he can
do some games in.
Yeah. So he can just take it easy and do it. Now, let's follow this and ask, what happens if something does happen and he's unavailable for the rest of the season? Oof. Is this Lakers team good enough just with LeBron James to repeat in the West and overall?
No way. Come on, coach. No way.
Yeah, I think what they're good enough for is to potentially win a first round playoff series, you know, probably against like an inexperienced team, you know, if Memphis or, you know, one of those teams that are inexperienced, that's sitting there in the eighth spot come playoff time, they could possibly squeak by, you know, one of those teams, you know, maybe even a team like Golden State, you know, there's Steph Curry against LeBron, but they'll probably have enough to handle the rest of the Warriors roster. But that's about it. That's as far as they probably can go without Anthony Davis, especially they've significantly taken a hit with the loss of, you know, JaVale McGee. Mm-hmm. I know people don't want to hear that. Dwight Howard inside, mm-hmm. Rajon Rondo's leadership. So, you know, you're talking about leadership, experience, defense, muscle inside, you know, playoff Rondo. So I don't think they would have enough to win the championship, but I would predict that the Clippers would be my favorite to win the West if Anthony Davis doesn't return.
Yeah, I think that that's probably a pretty fair statement. We're talking to Avery Johnson, former player, coach, analyst, CBS Sports HQ, CBS Sports Network as well. So, you know, coach, I know you mentioned Drummond and he's going to be dealt. Blake Griffin's sitting out. I think he's probably more of a buyout candidate. I don't know what you'd really give up for Blake Griffin at this point, but maybe somebody gives a second round or whatever. Those guys will have different addresses. The player that I think could change the balance of power this season if he's dealt to the right team, and nobody seems to talk about him, is Zach LaVine from the Bulls. Hmm. If I own the Bulls, I'm keeping him. I'm not trading him. I know you like Kobe. I know you like marketing. What he does, you know, I think Zach LaVine's the most underrated star in basketball. I don't think the average fan sees it. What do you see with LaVine?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, if I'm a team, even, you know, like the Philadelphia 76ers, you know, they got the best record right now.
The East is
looking good. But, I don't know if they're a candidate to win the East. But LaVine can help put them over the top.
Oh.
He's, you know, you pair him up with Joel Embiid and, man, you got something really, really special. This kid is dynamite. I mean, he's athletic. He could shoot it from anywhere. He can go off for 50 on you. I mean, he's very talented, unlimited range, much improved ball handler. But you put him on a really good, deep playoff team, you know, something like the, you know, not so much the Suns because they already have Devin Booker. But, you know, if he and Devin Booker and Chris Paul are together, maybe a Portland team, he can help a team like Portland. But
Denver.
I agree with you. Super talented.
Yeah. The thing that everybody misses about it, or not everybody, I shouldn't keep saying that. The thing that I think a lot of people miss with LaVine, because he's a high flyer, he's won a couple of dunk contests, I think that they overlook his efficiency. Like, there's a lot of guys who can jump and who can score that shoot 42%. We've seen those guys our entire life. Zach LaVine is, from every level of the court, a very efficient scorer, too. And I think that's what separates him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're looking at LaVine and in today's NBA game, you know, if you're shooting 50% from the field and 42% from three and, what, 86% from the free throw line,
yeah,
it's pretty efficient.
Yeah.
35 minutes a game, you know. So I just agree with you. He's okay. He's not necessarily a high volume shooter, you know, shooting 38% from the field. He's pretty efficient, and you know, his team just doesn't know how to win right now. But if I'm the Bulls and somebody were to call and ask for a potential trade with LaVine, I'm hanging the phone up.
Yeah.
But if they take the call, if I'm a team like, you know, Phoenix, you know, teams like that, I would be on the hotline. I would be on the hotline with the Bulls.
Yeah. Now, Coach, we're starting to get some inklings about what the second half of the season post All-Star is going to look like. And it seems like there's going to be five games a week. I mean, it feels heavy, especially for a season that had a month and a half of an off season. So some of these older players and the guys that are, you know, play deep into the postseason, this is a humongous disadvantage. What's going to be the reaction from a player standpoint?
Well, I remember in 99 when we won the first championship with the Spurs, you know, we had a couple of games where we had to play three in a row. Mm. And, you know, it was easily five games in a week at that point. But I think, you know, this is where coaching is going to have to come in, and you're going to have to really make sure you understand what's going on with your team from a physical standpoint. If any of your players are breaking down, you know, this has been tough on NBA players. And I know obviously people always want to talk about the money, but you know, just the mental health and of the players with all of the different COVID protocols and all of the different things they have to do just to accomplish getting on the court, playing the game. And if you're playing five games in a week, I think it's going to be very important for coaches to spend more time, not just coaching the X's and O's, but making sure they understand from a psychological standpoint what's going on with each player so that you can make sure he gets to his maximum potential when he's on the court.
Coach, give us Teague and I could actually get to this more thoroughly coming up, but give us 15 seconds or 20 seconds. We're up against it, so it can't be too long, but
okay.
We're going to get into a Harden conversation later as to whether or not he should actually be the leader for the MVP. Right now, give us your top three. I guess the order is not as important, but if you're voting for the MVP right now, who would you put? Give us your top three.
Wow. Well, LeBron, obviously, you know, LeBron would be one of the top players. Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. And then you can definitely put, you know, Harden in that conversation. You know, Durant, obviously, you know, he hadn't played as many games, but, you know, he could be in that conversation. Mm-hmm. So I would say those four guys, Jokic,
mm-hmm.
he could be in that conversation.
Yeah, he better be.
No, he's ridiculous.
He better be. Nice. All right. Well, listen, Coach, always good having you on. Avery Johnson, former player champion, coach, colleague here at CBS, CBS Sports HQ, CBS Sports Network analyst. Avery, thanks a lot, Big Three. Avery, thanks a lot, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
Thank
you. There you go. Good stuff. All right. So,
hey, BT, real quick. Mariners president and CEO Kevin Mather resigns in wake of recent disparaging comments made at the Rotary Club.
It's hard to recover. Maybe we could even circle back to that because for those who missed it, I don't want to squeeze it in now and sell it short. It's just hard. You can't trust him.
Yeah.
I don't think that they needed to fire him. The problem is guys are not going to trust him, and when that trust is broken, that's a problem for the team. But.
Yep.
I did see that. Happy you brought that to the air. I saw that on the Slack channel. But we'll weave that back in before we get out of here. All right, T, coming up. So, the arduous nature of the schedule. And you're right. And Avery Johnson's right. I mean, fans always say, well, you make 30, 40 million, play a game. I know, trust me, we should all be so lucky. But it's not as easy as you think. And there are ramifications for certain players and certain teams. We'll get into that coming up next. If it's as tough as it seems like it's going to be, this could dictate who the NBA champion is. We'll get to that conversation next. Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Teague and Tierney. So let's get to the schedule here, Teague, in terms of, you know, what this means for the players and obviously the fans with the NBA. The schedule, that was the smart thing to do. It made no sense to drop the entire 72-game schedule, not knowing the setbacks that COVID would bring our way. And there's been certain teams, you know, some teams have had pretty clean sailing. Others have had, you know, weeks just crushed. I mean, the Grizzlies had a rough stretch. The Wizards had a brutal stretch. A couple teams had a really rough stretch. So here's the thing. There's two issues. You know, how does this make the pursuit of an NBA championship more difficult? But I which is what I think fans will really care about. But I also think it's important to understand, like, you know, I know it worked out, I guess, somewhat, and it's easy to forget that the draft was, you know, 5 months after it usually is, whatever it was, just about.
Yep.
There was no summer league. But those are vehicles. Like, the way the NBA calendar is set up, you know, right around May, during a game usually, at halftime, you figure out, okay, what's the lottery? You know, they do that whole made-for-TV thing. And then you do the draft. It's always late June, right? Then right away, you go to summer league, first week in July. And free agency hits July 1, and then, you know, summer camp starts, and it's just an endless flow, and then you take your foot off the gas in August, and you reconvene when camps open. Just because we have an NBA season and things are looking okay, it doesn't mean the NBA is going to move off of something that they believe strongly in, which is the summer league, which is why they're hell-bent on finishing this and starting the league, the playoffs on time, hence what everybody anticipates to be a brutal second half schedule.
Yeah, it is brutal. And I mean, they kind of have to do this. Now, we've heard this often from all of the sports league, BT, because they lost so much money last season. And, you know, to not have a summer league, which, you know, 15 years ago, maybe it was a niche product that some people paid attention to. A lot of people didn't. I mean, you had to be a real NBA head to, you know, be, you know, XYZ player did phenomenal in the summer league. I remember seeing those stories and being like, who cares? What the hell is a summer league? Now, actually, you watch it because there's so many one and done kids coming out of college who maybe you saw a little bit at whatever school they played at in college. You probably didn't see a ton of them, especially if they didn't make it to the tournament. Mm-hmm. And now you're like, dude, is this kid going to be ready? And then all of a sudden you see them in the summer league and they actually look great or they look terrible. It's actually really informative, you know, post draft. And so I think, so partly it's money because there's so many eyes on it now, but it's also, I think it's like imperative for some of these young NBA players that are, you know, 19 years old, 18 or 19 years old, to do something before the season actually starts where they're playing with grown men. It's not like the Lucas of the world who came from playing with grown men in the European leagues or overseas. I mean, these kids, these guys are playing with, you know, it's a completely different game.
It is.
So it's necessary. The problem
with
is
different
that,
rules, by the way, the 3-point line
exactly
further
right.
back.
I exactly mean, right. Now, problem is you see these kids taking these 3-point because a lot of these courts, like the 3-point NBA line is also on the court.
Yes.
You see them jacking them up from behind the NBA line now a lot more than you used to. But I mean, that's the biggest part of it. The consequence is that, I mean, I feel for like a LeBron James or, you know, even Harden, some of these guys that are 30 or KD or Kyrie, these guys who are injured.
Even Kawhi. Kawhi's been around.
Kawhi, who've been playing injured for a year and a plus and, you know, didn't have any downtime. Right? It's going to be brutal on their bodies the second half of the season. And I just hope, I really just hope, BT, we don't see more serious injuries from where. Like, we've already seen a little bit this season already.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And to your point real quickly about the Summer League. So in 02, I was at one. I've been to a few, and I've always watched them.
Yeah.
But I was at the one in 02. Orlando hosted it. I told you this when I was working in Detroit, and I went out there, and I was doing my show, and I was actually doing the I was watching the Pistons Summer League, blah, blah, blah. That was when Tony Gonzalez was playing. He was messing around. He was on the Heat Summer League team. Played basketball at Cal, as you know, and he was in that Summer League. Point is, the only people in that gym that day was at the Orlando Magic practice facility was, you know, guys like me. And, you know, Larry Bird and Paul Silas and all the coaches, scouts. There were no fans.
Yeah.
So the growth now, it's in Vegas and it's out west and
it's prime time.
It has become a staple to keep the passion going. And I don't know that it's the best barometer of future NBA success, but the indoctrination to the pro game is a vital aspect of it. So you're absolutely right there. Pertaining to the point that probably more people will care about because it directly impacts the champion. You know, this is going to be one stretch where, you know what, don't tweet us and don't call us and complain if LeBron sits out for a week straight.
Yeah.
Not that he would even allow that without AD. You know, he's a baller. He's going to play them, but point taken. You know, if Paul George, forget about sitting out the final 2 minutes. Say if Paul George is on ice for 3 out of 4 games or 2 out of 3, or Kawhi sits and then Paul sits and vice versa. You're going to have to find a way to manipulate, because you don't have a lot of built-in off days. You're going to have to create them.
Yeah, you're right.
You're going to have to create your own, and the fan's going to have to be okay with that. And this is one time that I will not defend the fan there, because if the ultimate barometer is championship play, and you got to make sure you guys are healthy to get there.
True, but most of I think the real loser is going to be the TV audience. Not even the TV audience, because you can just flip to another game if you want to, but the TV broadcasters. Because, I mean, say you have a huge marquee game, not dissimilar to last night, the Nets and the Clippers, and all of a sudden you don't have the star playing in primetime. You know, just now that you watch that game anyways, because it was what it was. Mm-hmm. But I think the second half we could see some games where the star, it's a primetime game, and the star might not play.
Like a Saturday night game on ABC.
Yeah.
You know, you might be right. And even with that, I would want to look at the schedule. I would want to see what transpired before.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to see that's my issue with the Clippers yesterday. Off day and then the Wizards. I know the Wizards are playing better.
Yeah.
Westbrook's got like 3 or 4 triple-doubles in a row, and they've won a couple of games. I'm not saying they're a doormat right now. Like, they're playing better ball, but you know, you got to pick and choose, and I even the primetime games, I would think that there's a way to manipulate what's before and what's after to make sure they do play the primetime games, even if it means that they miss the 2 games after that are quote-unquote lower-profile games.
Yeah.
Even though they all count 1 out of 72, you know what I mean.
True, because the fans, I mean, they're not there. They're not, I mean, some arenas have some fans, but not
really.
Hey,
the Garden. The Garden's open tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's right.
2,000
that's right.
fans. I'm psyched. Right.
It is.
That's
a big deal.
Awesome.
I think you're going to start. I think I read somewhere the tournaments also, like conference tournaments and college basketball, they're also thinking about it.
Well, New Jersey, I know Governor Murphy was on with Moose and Maggie today on WFAN.
That's right.
He said that 10% of the indoor venues, so like Rutgers basketball, Seton Hall basketball, they'll start to get. Now, again, 10% is going to equate to about 1,000 fans, but it's better than none.
Yeah, it is.
It's a return slowly to normal.
It's a little bit of a home court advantage.
It is.
Got to take it.
The thing that's going to be tricky, like, they lost to DePaul the other night, so St. John's resume took a massive dent. But massive dent. They're going to have to start winning some games. They're probably not going to be favored.
Well,
to
it's better than my Cavaliers saving Duke.
Well, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, you know, from a competitive point of view, would you rather lose to Duke or would you rather lose to 1-10 DePaul?
Duke was 500. We're 11-2 in the conference.
It was 1-10.
Oh, that's it's worse. Yeah,
but.
You got me on that one.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, I wish I didn't, but I do. And I was talking to some of the people at St. John's before the game, and they said, you know, we were talking about, hey, listen, if things go well and we make the tournament, what are you doing for the broadcast? And I said, well, I would like to do my radio show from the road. I obviously want to do the games like I've done in the past, blah, blah, blah. And that I can't even fly on the team charter.
Wow.
Which I've always done to go back and forth do games. So because I'm not tier one, I would be tier two. So I don't know how you're going to I don't know why you would have fans at the NCAA tournament games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's in small doses, which it will be in Indianapolis, when the bubble that you're trying, I know we're going to get this later in the show, but the bubble that you're trying to create, that's the only thing that really matters.
Yeah.
Why would you risk it with fans?
I don't know. I don't know. I just read that and it surprised me a little bit, because college has been the one, the venues, especially in basketball, where they're not even compromising.
No, especially on the East Coast. Out west and down south, you've gotten some games, but on the East Coast, it's crickets. It's empty.
Yep.
We'll see. But I did see that you guys lost a tough one to Duke. Hey, and by the way, maybe Boeheim was right. They're better without the kid.
They've won 3 in a row, BT.
I know.
By the way, they now have a shot. They were not going to make the tournament for the first time in 20-something years.
Absolutely.
Right? They beat us, unfortunately.
It changes everything for them.
You're welcome, Dukies.
It changes everything for them.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. You know, and by the way, Boeheim, this bothered me. I know we got a break, but Boeheim over the weekend said, I've never even seen the kid Jalen Johnson play. Well, then why were you saying what you said?
Yeah.
They're better without him. Well, how do you know if you never saw him play?
Because Coach K told him.
That's kind of what we surmised on Friday, which is why I brought it back up on Monday. All right, let's get the update from ACT coming up. So, James Harden, he's in the MVP mix on some level. Not centrally for me, but he's in the conversation. Where should he be in the conversation, and what can he do the rest of the way to maybe jump people and actually win the MVP? We'll get to that after ACT's update, which is right now. Here's Rich. All right, we're going to get to the MVP here. Tiggy's going to make a case for James Harden. I'm going to shoot it down. But first, though, it's time for Doing More, brought to you by The Home Depot. For savings on the latest appliances from the kitchen to the laundry room, your appliance upgrade is, well, within reach. Save on top appliances now. Go to The Home Depot. How doers get more done. How about Thunder stud Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Dropped in 31, 9 out of 15 in the Thunder blowout. They beat the Cavs yesterday. And G-A is averaging 25, 5, and 7 over his last six and leads the team in scoring and assists this season. Remember, he was the component to the deal where we're like, okay, we understand that it's time to start stripping away. You got what in that trade? Wow. That was the player, in addition to draft equity, where the Thunder, as we assessed that deal when they made it, that's where we thought the Thunder really won, and he's paying dividends, he's balling. And no surprise. All right, Teague and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. So, Teague, to me, I'm all ears. I mm-hmm. will engage in anything. I am always down.
James Harden's going to win the MVP.
All right, now you take it. All I will say is, while I will debate and hear anything,
yeah.
right now, to me, it's Embiid, it's the Joker, and at that point, and probably LeBron. And at that point, it's not particularly close for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Here's but go ahead.
All right. So just for clarity's sake, Basketball Reference has statistics on these probability percentages okay. for the NBA MVP award tracker. Currently sitting at number one with a 36.6% chance of winning the MVP. We're not quite at the All-Star break, so halfway there.
Dropping percentages.
Is yeah. Nikola Jokic.
Right? The Joker.
Joker has
you're
been
Joker,
dominating.
You're a Joker, you're a smoker, you're midnight Joker.
Now, the problem is there are only a couple games over 500, but okay. he's 26-11 rebounds, that is, usually assists, but 26-11. 8.5, basically almost 9, and 11. So he's almost averaging a triple-double, Jokic is. At number two is Joel Embiid.
Percentage.
19.7%.
Precipitous drop.
Precipitous. It's almost double,
there
right?
It is.
19.7% is Joel Embiid. And then that third is LeBron James at a paltry 8.8% chance
of
winning the MVP. It's no respect. And by the way, it goes on the list like Giannis. Giannis has 8.5.
Oh, stop. I don't want to hear about Giannis.
Exactly. Whatever. But because he's a two-time, I guess you got to kind of put him there, right?
I mean, I like the – I can't.
I can't
even entertain that thought.
Damian Lillard is 8.1.
Okay. All right.
Actually, not that far behind LeBron. Rudy Gobert is seven. Sorry, I missed one. Kawhi Leonard is 7.8. Okay. Rudy Gobert 3.7. Then Anthony Davis 2.7. Luka 2.1. Maybe next year, BT.
Yeah, no, he's not gonna win it this year. That's true. Not gonna win it this year.
And then Donovan Mitchell.
Got to come to camp in shape. That would help.
Exactly.
Not gonna win it this year.
And not crap the bed for the first 2.5 weeks of the season. And Donovan Mitchell is 2.0.
So Spider.
And Spider's down there. It's a two-man race if you're talking pre-All-Star break between Jokic and Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Two big men, interestingly, who are dominating. The difference is the 76ers are in first place over the Brooklyn Nets by only, I think, a game or two. I think maybe only a game.
Nets are the two seed right now, correct?
Yep. And in the Nuggets, I mean, they're only two games over 500.
But Jamal Murray's been playing. It's not because of Jokers, because up until last week or so, Murray's been bad.
I agree. Currently in the seventh seed, just a half a game ahead of the Golden State Warriors for the eighth seed. So Denver, I mean, Jokic is playing great, but if you're a middle of the road, maybe not even a playoff team, you're not going to win the MVP. Now, here's why James Harden's not on this list, by the way. Like, talk about probability, James Harden's not even mentioned on this list. However, they have won six games in a row, five games on this road trip, as we were just talking about, and doing things that they haven't done in a long, long time.
When were those odds updated? Just out of curiosity, the percentage, most recent update.
Let me see.
So I want to see if they incorporated the five-game win streak.
Well, yeah, they had all of it. They had to because it has Jokic's win-loss record as they play 30 games, and that's exactly
so it is what it is. Gotcha.
It is where it is. James Harden is not on this list. Okay. He is 28 or 25, 11, and 8 rebounds per game. We talked about this last week. Actually, no, I think I did this in my Sports Minute last week. He's leading the team also in steals, at a steal and a half almost per game.
I can't get excited about that. Man.
Okay, it's but it is what it is. But whatever it is, he's leading the team in all of these categories. Okay. And he's leading the team in PER, even more than Kevin Durant, who is an all-star starter. And if he was healthy, would likely be in the MVP conversation himself at 25.5. KD is 25.3. So okay.
What's Kyrie, by the way? Low 20s? 22?
Yeah, 22.8. I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was like 22.8. Okay. The point is, he's been the best player on the hottest team in basketball, save the Jazz, which we also talked about last week. The Nets are the hottest team, most interesting team in basketball right now, and James Harden is their best player. Now, if they go on, and again, this is the halfway point. It's probably too early to be talking MVP, but it's never too early to talk MVP, right? No, especially when you're at the All-Star break. If you had to give it to one person right now based on his impact.
I got you.
Let's not forget, the Nets were like, They were 500.
You don't have to explain the meaning of the award to your partner. I'm just saying,
they were 500-ish before James Harden got there. James Harden got there. He had to adjust to a new system where he's not asked to do all the scoring and shoot three-pointers and score at the rim and go to the free throw line 15 times. Uh-huh. And even when they get outplayed, because if you look at the stats of the box score from last night, BT, they were outplayed. The only difference was that they had three or four more possessions, which is a result of turnovers, than the Clippers did, and that's why they won the game. And James Harden is directly responsible for a lot of those transition points and those the way that they manage this game, because he's the point guard.
He's playing great,
best player on the team that is soon to be the best team in basketball. I don't know how he's not in the MVP conversation, at least.
Yeah, no, he in the conversation, but there's different parameters. I mean, the conversation that you gave me, should he be shown the respect of having a percentage next to his name? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Even though it would probably be lower for me than for you, of course he should have some sort of reflection percentage-wise. There's no question.
Definitely top five. Probably top four, given what it is right now.
Top four for me. But I respect where you're coming from. You make some very valid points. He's been great. And by the way, as a quick aside, I find it pretty interesting that, again, it's just, it's numbers and all that. It's probability. But it is interesting to me that almost 60% of the voting is going to big men when big men are supposed to not that influential anymore.
Right. Again, this is probably it's probably an algorithm that's only based on stats.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. It can't be human subjectivity.
No.
There's no way. It's got to be all
that's why
based.
I injected the Harden, like the subjectivity, like the eye test.
I got it. Well, did they rule him out because he's been traded? I don't know. I don't know if that would be in the algorithm, but
that's a good question.
I don't know if they just purposely omitted him because it seems odd for him to get no love. That's ridiculous. I think that, listen, if I'm voting today, I'm voting 100 out of 100 Joel Embiid. Like, it's not even, I think Embiid is winning going away.
Yeah.
Right now.
Most impactful player on the top team in the East.
And guys, he's doing things. Like his name has been next to Will Chamberlain's name a few times this year. That means.
And when he was out, even despite, why am I forgetting his teammate?
Simmons?
Even when he's out, when Russell Simmons goes, Ben Simmons goes crazy. Russell Simmons. When Ben Simmons goes crazy and scores 42, they still lose.
I know.
Embiid's the man this year.
He is great. I saw him make some, I mean, we see him every night, but step back, his nimbleness with his footwork, step backs, fall the ways off one foot, so deft in space. He hits bombs. He attacks the rim. He's playing with great passion.
Yep.
Any other platitude I could throw his way, just deliver it to Embiid's doorstep. Right now, the trophy's his. Number two, you make a good point, too, about Denver being seven, although there's not a ton of separation between seven and obviously upward mobility, so that could shake out favorably from a team point of view soon.
It's two games, three games, and they're four.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold that too much again. Joker's been great. If I had to pick the third guy, that's where I have to decide if I'm ready to weave Harden into that part. Mm-hmm.
Well, LeBron,
and I would say no. I would say or top four. I would say LeBron three.
Yeah,
maybe even LeBron two over Joker. Maybe definitely Embiid one. Flip flop Embiid, Joker, and LeBron if you want. Number four is where I've got to make my decision. And
who are you saying?
I'm looking at Damian Lillard.
Yeah, it's hard not to. Man.
I'm looking at Damian Lillard. Giannis's numbers are there as usual, but they're only a couple of games over.
But again, you got to think about the eye test with Giannis.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what it comes down to.
I hear you.
I mean, his statistics they're going to always be amazing because he's
always going to be 28 a game, always going to be 26, 27 PER. I hear you.
He's just rebounds. He's a dominant physical specimen. He's always going to have the numbers. right? But are you winning games, and are you more of a, I mean, clearly he's more of a positive than he is a negative, but there are points where he's like glaringly a negative. And that doesn't win you the MVP.
Well, I gave you, for those of you who missed it, it's going to be hard to remember everything, but it was, I did this about 2 weeks ago. I actually looked this stuff up. I've got it in one of my notepads. I could find it if I have to, but I can't find it now. I don't have time. But the premise was, over the history of the NBA, only, I want to say, six players have won the MVP whose team failed to win 60% or more of their games. Mm-hmm. And I believe none or only one since 2001.
Yeah.
You had Kareem on there in the mid, I think it was the 75 Lakers, who he won the MVP.
Yep.
They weren't even a playoff team. Bob Pettit was a team from the mid-50s with the Hawks, one of the early great players in the NBA. You had Moses Malone twice with two different teams, Houston and Philly.
This is good recall, BT.
Yeah, and my dude, mind is pretty good, like, with certain
you
things.
You taking that ginkgo biloba or something?
I am taking something. You should see what I'm taking between commercial breaks here. Nah, I'm just kidding. I have taken some CBD.
Really?
I tell you,
it's great.
With, you know, the THC in there.
Yeah.
No, and it's small dose, low dose, very low dose. But I have actually incorporated that within my lack of a better description, my wellness program. And,
I love it.
You know,
I love
it. Just for the back and for just overall function. Honestly, I'm a supporter of it.
Yeah, nice.
I really am, definitely.
Just stay away from the steroids.
I told you, I almost took him back in college. You could just imagine your partner wanting to be a meathead. You could totally see me taking him too, can't
totally,
you?
Totally, 100%.
Walking to the bar, extra tight. Like
I can
clown.
See you like 240, all muscle everywhere.
Yep. That could have been me. It could have been me.
By the way,
I wanted to do it. Yes, Tiki.
To your point about win percentage that you just went through, that's why I was complimenting your recall.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm looking at the win-loss percentage of this list.
Uh-huh.
It would eliminate Joker, who only has 53% win percentage.
Uh-huh.
And Giannis is at 58. And so basically, it puts you at exactly your list, BT.
Yep.
Joel, LeBron James, and then Damian Lillard.
And don't think for a moment that they didn't incorporate that within the algorithm there.
Yeah.
They know their history as well as, I mean, it's probasketballreference.com. I'm sure they know that there's only been six NBA players to win the MVP for a team that won fewer than 60% of its games. So, interesting stuff. A lot of season to go. Talk a little NBA. Never out of bounds. But, yeah. Harden should get a little bit more love than he's getting. I'm with you on that. I'm with you. All right. The Texans don't want to trade Deshaun Watson. But if they do, what could they get for him next?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.